Hello, this is Sandra Ferguson with the Friday, March 20th, 2020 edition of the News Gazette. And we will begin with the front page with a piece about the coronavirus response called Putting the Call Out. As Governor urges calm and hospital beds fill up, focus shifts to assisting elderly. Local hospitals. At Carle, OSF, plans in place to expand capacity. By Deborah Pressey, Urbana. Worried there won't be enough hospital beds if you become very sick with COVID-19? Plans are in place to expand bed capacity and repurpose other buildings in local communities for overflow space if there's a larger than projected surge of COVID-19 patients who need hospital care, according to local hospitals. Cases have been escalating rapidly in Illinois to 422 as of Thursday, four of them fatal. But health officials still look for about 80% of those who become infected to have mild enough versions of this viral illness to be able to recover at home. If the number of seriously ill people grows, Carle Foundation Hospital will begin doubling up on more private rooms and converting some of its other facilities to expand capacity. And if the demand grows beyond that, arrangements are in place to expand hospital care to vacant buildings in the community, according to Alan Reinhardt, executive director of Carle's Emergency Department, Intensive Care Unit, and Outpatient Services. Carle can also expand its number of intensive care beds if that becomes necessary, Reinhardt said. I think we're pretty well prepared, he said. OSF Health Care's hospitals in Urbana and Danville are also prepared. We have an emergency operation plan for both OSF Health Care Heart of Mary Medical Center and OSF Health Care Sacred Heart Medical Center that contains a surge plan, said Dr. John Kreckman, Chief Medical Officer at Heart of Mary. It will allow us to increase our general and or ICU beds as needed, pending the availability of staff. As of Thursday, neither of the OSF hospitals in Urbana or Danville had a shortage of bed space or medical staff, he said. Kirby Medical Center in Monticello has 16 licensed beds and could possibly expand to add 5 more, depending on staffing, according to its chief medical officer, Jennifer Moss. None of those beds are intensive care beds, however, because the hospital doesn't have inpatient ventilators, she said. In all, there are about 880 hospital beds in Urbana, Danville, Gibson City, Hoopston, and Monticello, according to the most recent reports available from the Illinois Health Facilities and Services Review Board, which were current through 2018. Most of those beds are in Urbana and Danville at Carle and OSF hospitals. The total includes some additional intensive care beds added at Carle since 2018, boosting the number of intensive care beds in Urbana, Danville, Gibson City, Monticello, and Hoopston to about 80. Again, nearly all of them in Urbana and Danville. Carle's 40 adult and pediatric intensive care beds are currently running about 85% full, Reinhardt said. While flu and pneumonia cases are beginning to subside, those illnesses are still keeping a number of people in the hospital, he said. As of Thursday, Carle Foundation Hospital had more than 300 patients occupying its 433 licensed beds, according to Reinhardt. The patient population swelled about a month and a half ago to about 520 patients in beds as more respiratory illnesses were circulating, he said. By doubling up patients in private rooms, we have space for more than 433 patients, he said. Carle has been planning for years about how to handle a surge in patients, whether it be from a pandemic, bioterrorism, or other circumstances, Reinhardt said. Planning to handle a surge due to COVID-19 has been underway for a month, he said. Carl is also well stocked on supplies, thanks to emergency preparedness planning, and has sufficient staff with plans to transfer some non-hospital staff to hospital care duties as needed, Reinhardt said. We'll be repurposing some of our clinical staff, said Carl spokeswoman Jamie Mullen. They may be repurposed to help us as the surge goes through to handle the influx and not burn staff out. The way he sees it, Reinhardt said, fears being expressed about not enough hospital capacity are being generated by what people have seen on the news in countries such as Italy and China. I think in the U.S. we took action faster to keep people from congregating, he said. Those interventions should help dramatically cut down on the spread of the virus, Reinhardt said. I don't believe we will see what they've seen, he added. And in local law enforcement, still on duty, police trying to limit intentional contact, by Mary Schenck. It's not business as usual for area law enforcement by any means, but it's definitely still real business. Anything in progress, we will go address it, said Urbana Police Lieutenant Joel Sanders, summarizing the agreed-upon response of all area departments. Rest assured, we will continue to respond to emergencies, priority crimes, and accidents with injuries, Champaign Police Chief Anthony Cobb said in a video posted earlier this week on the department's Facebook page. For area agencies, lower priority calls like a bicycle stolen days ago or a loud music call will be handled by phone or with online reporting. We are trying to limit the amount of intentional contact with people, Champaign Police Lieutenant Bruce Ramsire said from the Champaign Police Station on Thursday. We are still enforcing laws, taking people to jail. We are just taking extra precautions. Our response times and the way we solve things may be a little different. It's a process. We ask for the public's patience and understanding as we all go through this together. The same holds true for University of Illinois Police and the Champaign County Sheriff's Office. UI Police spokesman Pat Wade, who was working from home Thursday, said because this is spring break, it's normally quiet for his department. With the suspension of on-campus learning for the remainder of the spring semester, police expect calls for service to drop off. An online report filing system they had been talking about for a while has been expedited. Internally, we are looking at what changes we can make to how people, officers, are scheduled to limit their exposure to each other in the workplace and make sure we have people healthy for staffing in the long term, Wade said. That's not something the public will notice. We've been trying to remind people that our police staff is still here and working, Wade said in the wake of the almost complete evacuation of campus. Sheriff Dustin Hewerman said his department, which is responsible for a number of different areas, is also working with other agencies. Champaign County Jail. At the jails, the downtown Urbana facility on Main Street and the satellite on Learman Avenue, in-person visits and work by volunteers have been suspended until further notice. Captain Kerry Vogues said the staff withdrew the visits reluctantly, knowing their critical importance to the inmates and their loved ones. It brings people out and to the lobby, and that's what we are trying to keep from, Vogue said. We are not only keeping the inmates and our staff safe, but their families, and we've explained it to them. She said jail staffers handed out fact sheets Monday to inmates explaining why certain procedures were happening. Inmates, who always have access to soap and water, have been encouraged to use it liberally, to cough into elbows, and to maintain distance when they are in the common areas of their pods. Hewerman said the inmates have been fairly understanding. Even some of the typically more argumentative inmates understand why we're doing what we're doing, he said. We are not keeping it a secret at all. Vogue said inmates who have money in their accounts can have regular phone and video visits from home with people outside the jail. Now that the jail staff is prohibiting outside visitors, she is working with Securus Technologies to allow 2 free phone calls and 1 free video visit per week. Those would be in addition to what the inmate can pay for. As of Thursday afternoon, she hoped the switch to those free options would be completed by today. But Securus is working with jails nationwide to make similar accommodations. Meantime, Vogue said she has ordered more playing cards and games and has staff doing library lending, all in an effort to keep the inmates busy while the weather prohibits them from being in the outdoor secure area and the volunteers are precluded from running the program. Huerman said it's been so far so good in terms of health issues at the jails, which as of Thursday had 164 under roof. That's down from last year's daily average of 185 and significantly fewer than the total 295 the jails could handle if we had all perfect inmates, he said. Defense lawyers who have clients in custody have been encouraged to contact the state's attorney's office if they think they can work out agreements for pleas or bond reductions. And Vogue's and state's attorney Julia Reitz are scrutinizing the population daily to see who doesn't pose a risk and what else can we do that doesn't include incarceration. Most cases have been continued. We have put increased screening in and will likely screen our officers for signs and symptoms of COVID-19, Huerman said. We are already doing that screening for inmates that come in the door. Courthouse. Huerman said at the courthouse he is rotating security officers so that 3 or 4 work each day to cover the reduced activities going on there. They are trained in corrections, so if we see corrections staff go down due to illness, they can handle. But we haven't seen anyone go down, he said. On Monday, Judge Tom DeFantis shut the courthouse to the public through at least March 30th. That could be extended, but left open 1 large courtroom in which he hears cases daily that need immediate attention, such as emergency orders of protection, shelter care hearings for abused children, and arraignments. The front office of the Sheriff's Office at 204 East Main Street has been reduced from 6 staffers and a supervisor to 1 staff member and 1 supervisor. Everybody is still being paid, he said. The office is open to the public, but only because state statute says it must be, Huerman said. The lobby of the Champaign Police Department is locked, but an intercom is in use and visitors can be buzzed in. Only a single entrance on the north side of the Urbana City Building, where that city's police department is located, remains unlocked. Patrol. As in his other divisions, Huerman said none of his road deputies has tested positive for the virus. We have decided, and we are working with the other chiefs, that if a call can be handled with the phone, then it will be handled via the phone, he said. If it's not in progress and not a known suspect, that would automatically be handled via phone. That system is also being employed by Champaign-Urbana and UI Police. In each department, the supervisors said they can't force officers to use their personal cell phones to make those calls from their squad cars, but the officers can if they are willing. Otherwise, they come into the post to do so. Ramsayer and Sanders said so far none of Champaign or Urbana's officers have called in sick for anything that resembles symptoms of the coronavirus. Sanders said he had 1 officer who returned from a trip to Ireland recently who is about to come off a 2-week self-quarantine. Both said special details that require the payment of overtime have been canceled, such as concentrated traffic enforcement. Ramsayer said much of his time is spent poring over spreadsheets to keep the shift staffed appropriately. Detectives are still doing work the way they usually do. Patrol briefings at Champaign are being held in the parking lot by the squad cars instead of a closed room. We are trying to practice what we preach. When the time comes we have to arrest somebody, we have to be as careful as we can, he said. We use protective masks and gloves and decontaminate as much as we can after each call. Huerman, who is leading a countrywide public safety effort, said the cities and the country have implemented a virtual emergency operations center to help public health manage all the things we're seeing in our community right now. This is what we would do if this was a tornado, he said, adding that departments are also coordinating how they will staff for each other should officers become ill. The public doesn't have to be worried that they are not going to get the service, Huerman said. We are taking proactive steps so that we can give them that service. And next, a piece about friendly callers, program to help seniors combat loneliness ramping up, by Bob Asmussen, Champaign. As the coronavirus spread throughout Illinois, Governor J.B. Pritzker opened his daily press conference Thursday by emphasizing the need to help senior citizens. He pointed to cooperation from major grocery companies in setting up special shopping hours for older customers. Locally, Family Service of Champaign County's Senior Resource Center is lending a hand to residents. Actually, lending an ear. The Friendly Callers program is a free service for Champaign County citizens who are 60 and older. It's not up to full speed, but given the anxiety over the pandemic, organizer Julie Schubach said interest is high. We have had an overwhelming amount of students and other people out of work who have called wanting to help, said Schubach, director of the Senior Resource Center. The program is staffed by volunteers and offers two types of calls. Reassurance calls provide a safety check for the residents and last 1 to 5 minutes. A typical call might include reminders about medications that need to be taken. There are also social calls, a chance for the resident to chat for anywhere from 5 to 20 minutes. The program was not in response to COVID-19. It was in the works before the pandemic hit. The timing worked out well, giving senior citizens aid and peace of mind. We'd been amping up outreach and gathering volunteers in order to do those calls, Schubach said. The state had earlier set aside money to consider the impact of social isolation on older adults. Champaign County was one of the test areas, and Schubach volunteered to lead the group. Friendly Callers is one of the programs. The social calls come once or twice a week. The reassurance calls are more frequent, depending on the needs and desires of the resident. There is also an option for an emergency backup plan. If the volunteer can't reach the resident, they go to a volunteer coordinator and potentially do a wellness check with the police. The Senior Resource Center is partnering with OSF Healthcare, which already had a similar program going. Data is being gathered using the UCLA Loneliness Scale to determine the effectiveness of the Friendly Callers program. Schubach said 8 to 10 volunteers will be trained by the early part of next week, and more could be on the way. We're considering getting people in, especially if we have a high demand, even on a short-term basis for as long as this lasts, so that we can meet this demand. Schubach heard from a University of Illinois psychology graduate student who said there were many more at the school willing to help. I think they would be a perfect population to make calls, Schubach said. I think the numbers could skyrocket. I know that the demand could skyrocket quickly, which is why we hadn't really put it out there to all the sources yet. But I think given the times, we should. Many of the calls will be made from the volunteers' homes or the office at RSVP. The training continues with social distancing in mind. Schubach sees a growing willingness from citizens to pitch in. Absolutely, she said. With the students calling and general community workers saying, "Hey, how can I help?" it's been really heartwarming to see. If residents want to receive social or reassurance calls, they can contact 217-352-5100. To volunteer, call 217-359-6500. And the impact of the virus here in Illinois. The number of confirmed corona cases in Champaign County remains at 1, while the number of negative test results continues to grow. Among local people who have been tested, there have been 52 results that have been negative for COVID-19, according to Champaign-Urbana Public Health District Administrator Julie Pride. Local officials are still awaiting the results of 42 other tests. The state death toll jumped from 1 to 4, the Illinois Department of Public Health said Thursday in announcing that COVID-19 had killed a Will County man in his 50s, a Cook County woman in her 80s, and an out-of-state woman in her 70s who was visiting family in Sangamon County. Also climbing Thursday, the number of confirmed cases statewide from 288 to 422, the second triple-digit jump in as many days. The cases include people who range in age from 9 to 99. At least 24 of Illinois' 102 counties now have confirmed cases, with Macon, Jackson, Kankakee, LaSalle, Washington, and Williamson being added to the list. The Mason case, announced by the county's health department, involved a man in his 70s without a history of travel or exposure. When residents of Oak Park wake up this morning, it will be to a village under lockdown. The Chicago suburb of 52,265 became the first Illinois municipality to enact a shelter-in-place order, effective today and lasting until April 3rd, after two ER doctors tested positive for COVID-19. Could the entire state be next? At a Thursday news conference, Governor J.B. Pritzker said, "The state is evaluating every day whether a shelter-in-place order might be necessary," saying that experts are advising this is going to take longer than people have expected. "I want to address some of the rumors that have been running around," he added. "Essential services will not close. Interstates, highways, and bridges will stay open. Grocery stores, pharmacies, gas stations, these sources of fundamental supplies will continue to operate. There is no need to run out and hoard food, gas, or medicine. Buy what you need within reason." And in Top of the Morning by Lauren Tate. "I like Harv. Those buttons were proudly worn through the UI campus in 1969 when second-year coach Harv Schmidt led Illini basketball out of the debilitating slush fund through an uproarious 19-5 campaign. His emergence out of the then Assembly Hall tunnel drew raucous cheers and a standing ovation. He was beloved. Harv can use your cheers today, and better yet, your best wishes, as he is under hospice care with heart issues at the Windsor Health Care Center, 310 South 3rd Street, Windsor, Colorado, 80550. Or you can go through his wife, Donna, at 970-461-8378. That's the home number, or her cell number, 970-779-2532. Harv and Donna will be married 60 years in August, but she can't be with him now. Due to coronavirus concerns, she hasn't been able to enter the health care center since Harv arrived there Monday. Old-timers will recall Harv as a lanky forward out of Kankakee, leading strong 17-5 and 18-4 UI teams, and finished second to Iowa in the Big Ten in 1955 and 1956. Huff Gym was jam-packed in those days with Bill Ridley and the Judson twins and Don Ohl on display. The 1956 run briefly attaining number one with UPI and finishing number two in the nation with AP. As a senior in 1956 through 57, Harve was second team all-conference for a team that started 10-2 but tumbled when center George Bonsalle was declared ineligible at the semester. Harve was viewed as a savior when AD Gene Vance brought him back to campus in 1967. But after the Illini finished second to All-American Rick Mount and Purdue in 1969, Mount never lost to the Illini, the team trailed off even as Nick Witherspoon and Rick Schmidt arrived on the scene. The 5-18 season of 1973-74 marked the disappointing end of Harve's tenure here. If you recall those days and the love and effort Harve put into it, send him your best wishes. He is a true Illini. And let's take a look at the history section. In area history, in 1920, Judge Boggs granted Paul G. Busey of Urbana a decree of foreclosure for $10,319 and costs against the Illinois Theater in Urbana. The sale of the theater was ordered by the master in Chancery. In 1970, plans were to be completed for the appearance of Chicago 7 defense attorney William Kunstler. The sponsors of the speech were attempting to have it moved from the UI auditorium to the assembly hall, which can seat about 10 times more people. In 2005, Nevada elected to make Illinois' big men beat them, and James Augustine and Company obliged. Augustine scored 17 of his career-high 23 points in the first half, and the Illini dominated the second half to send the Wolfpack packing, 71-59. The Illini were the winningest single-season team in Big Ten history, and they were off to the Sweet 16 for the fourth time in five seasons. Most importantly to Illinois, that meant two more wins to reach a season-long goal, the Final Four. And in international history, today's highlight, on March 20, 1854, the Republican Party of the United States was founded by slavery opponents at a schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin. On this date in 1815, Napoleon Bonaparte returned to Paris after escaping his exile on Elba, beginning his 100 Days rule. In 1933, Florida electrocuted Giuseppe Zangara for fatally shooting Chicago Mayor Anton J. Cermak at a Miami event attended by President-elect Franklin D. Roosevelt, the presumed target, the previous February. In 1942, U.S. Army General Douglas MacArthur, having evacuated the Philippines at the order of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, told reporters in Tirawi, Australia, "I came out of Bataan, and I shall return." In 1976, kidnapped newspaper heiress Patricia Hearst was convicted of armed robbery for her part in a San Francisco bank holdup carried out by the Symbionese Liberation Army. Hearst was sentenced to 7 years in prison. She was released after serving 22 months and was pardoned in 2001 by President Bill Clinton. And we'll take a short break now and then return with the second half hour of the Friday, March 20th, 2020 edition of the News Gazette. I'm Sandra Ferguson. Please stay tuned.